אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
And we are joined now by Shane Desiatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Mitt.
And we are in February already. I believe the Jewish News is already back in full gear.
Yeah, it sure is, yeah.
And let's start with the headlines. What has been happening in the Australian Jewish community of Australia?
Yeah, sure. So this is a story that happened on January 31, which we put on our website. It happened just after going to press. But in Melbourne, in Caulfield, two men have been arrested in connection with the fire that occurred at a Caulfield burger restaurant in November called Burgatory last year that led to scenes of violence in the heart of Jewish Melbourne. Police Criminal Investigation Unit detectives on Wednesday morning arrested a 27-year-old man in Carnegie and have also detained a 25-year-old man in a suburb called Dallas later that morning. Arson charges are expected to be laid. Inspector Scott Dwyer of Moorabbin Investigation and Response said, "We know this incident was not a hate crime. It wasn't motivated by prejudice or politics." Now, of course, then that news has led to calls from the Jewish community in Victoria for an apology from those who labelled the fire a hate crime. Philip Zajac, president of the Jewish Community Council of Victoria, has thanked Victoria Police for making their arrests and for stating that it wasn't a hate crime. He believes the slander against the Victorian Jewish community after this arson attack was reprehensible, leading, as it did, to one of the worst nights in our community's history. He said, "We will never forget the night aggressive protesters descended on Caulfield and led to a situation where Jewish people were injured on the streets of Caulfield and hundreds were left unable to safely attend synagogue there, visit family for Shabbat dinner, or walk the streets of their own neighborhood."
Mm.
He said the situation was allowed to get completely out of hand, and the Jewish Community Council of Victoria commits to continuing its work with the Victorian government to develop stronger laws against incitement. The blaze, which caused hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage to Burgatory, was falsely claimed by several organizations and individuals at the time to have been a hate crime. In the aftermath of that blaze, the Islamic Council of Victoria, the Australian Palestine Advocacy Network, Free Palestine Melbourne, and the Palestinian Community Association made a public statement expressing, quote, "grave concern that this was an intentional act amounting to a hate crime against Mr. Taya as a Palestinian and Muslim," him being the owner of the restaurant. Yet they provided no evidence for this at all at the time.
Mm. So the most important thing is that it was not a hate crime. Do we have any further information about the identity of those two people who got arrested?
Yeah, so one was from Carnegie and another from Dallas, the suburb. Arson, as arson charges are expected to be laid but not yet laid, no further details can be provided until they've actually been charged and mm-hmm. they face court.
Okay.
And once they face court...
Can we identify them as belonging to any religious group?
It's definitely not Jews, I could say from the reaction. And I don't know if your listeners know the suburbs too very well or not, but I believe Dallas has a...
Dallas, it's quite far, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an outer part of Melbourne and mixed community and has a significant Muslim minority residence. But that's all we can say.
As far as we know, there are no Jews living in Dallas, right?
No, they don't. No.
I guess we'll have to wait and see how this story develops. So thanks for the update. And in a different story, but remaining with the restaurant industry, tell us about an initiative that one restaurant in Melbourne is doing for the Israeli hostages.
A non-Jewish cafe owner in Melbourne plans to project images of Israeli hostages in Gaza onto the outside of his business. So that's completely different.
Yeah.
But a restaurant, nevertheless. Perry LeGreco, the proprietor of the Mediterranean Greek Tavern in Elstonwick, said he is aware of the security risk of doing this, but he said there is a need to jolt the community into recognition and action. And his plan is to use a projector to display images of the hostages on the large white frontage above his cafe in the evenings so people driving past can see them. He said it won't be able to be missed because it's on Glen Huntly Road. I think it would really get people's attention. He said, if the attention is to create fear for me, they've lost that because I'm over the fear, I'm still here, the business is operating. And if anything, he said, I think it's making me stronger. So it's good to hear that.
Interesting. I've seen a lot of posters of hostages, you know, under bridges, in public places, but I have never seen it inside a private business.
Yeah, no, not on restaurants or businesses. No.
Let's move to other stories. And Foreign Minister Penny Wong announced on Saturday Australia has suspended a $6 million Palestinian aid package she announced only last month during her Middle East visit. What was the reaction from Jewish leaders in Australia?
Okay, so local Australian Jewish leaders have expressed their disgust at the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian refugees, otherwise known as UNRWA, and called for its dismantling after reports, of course, that 12 of UNRWA's staff connived in the October 7 attacks, in which, of course, some 1,200 Israelis and other people in Israel civilians were massacred. Intelligence provided by Israel's Shin Bet and the IDF that UNRWA employees joined in the Hamas onslaught emerged last week, prompting agency chief Philip Lazzarini to announce an investigation and sackings of several staff. Explosive revelations led to several countries, including Australia, announcing a pause in funding to UNRWA. Foreign Minister Penny Wong announced on Saturday Australia has suspended a further $6 million Palestinian aid package that she announced only last month during her Middle East visit. However, Australia will not seek to retrieve $20 million in Palestinian aid payments already made under the 23-24 federal budget allocation, despite cautions from local Jewish community leaders over many years and a letter to Penny Wong and Prime Minister Anthony Albanese in December by 30 Jewish leaders pointing this out. Australia is the 16th largest UNRWA funder and has already paid $190 million to UNRWA. So we've got lots of reaction from this from people like the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, co-CEO Alex Rifkin, Zionist Federation of Australia President Jeremy Liebler, and Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council Executive Director Colin Rubenstein.
And the wave of suspensions of funding started with the U.S. on Friday, right after the investigation was announced. And among the countries, we can find Canada, Australia, Britain, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Finland, Estonia, Japan, Austria, and Romania. All those countries suspended their fundings to UNRWA. And moving to a different story, Sydney has witnessed neo-Nazi incidents across three consecutive days over the Australia Day weekend, promoting fears the ideology is gaining popularity in Australia. Shane, what can you tell us about this?
Yes, during Australia Day, of course, Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Alex Rifkin has said it was shocking to see a gang of neo-Nazis roaming the streets of Sydney. And New South Wales Premier Chris Minns vowed police had the power to rip off their masks and expose their identities. Around 60 men, mostly wearing black masks and clothes, were intercepted at North Sydney Station on Australia Day. Melbourne-based Thomas Sewell, who heads the far-right group known as the National Socialist Network, was filmed being served by officers with a legal order banning him from attending any Australia Day events in Sydney, before police then broke up a gathering on Saturday evening in the suburb of North Tarramurra. Many of the neo-Nazis who gathered in Sydney were from interstate, like Victoria, Tasmania and Queensland, with Minns promising that New South Wales police are not going to be tolerant of this obnoxious and appalling behaviour. He said the message to racists, particularly those from interstate, is that you're not welcome here. And I just want to make this point clear that in New South Wales, the police have the right to unmask neo-Nazis on our streets. They'll be exposed as a racist to their family, their friends and employers and workmates for the first time. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese condemned this group, saying there's nothing to be got in this country through hatred. And Alex Rivkin from Executive Council of Australian Jewry noted, of course, that Saturday was International Holocaust Memorial Day, and that the, quote, Invasion Day protests on the previous day by activists had featured anti-Israel chants as well. Of course, we saw that during that day. He did praise New South Wales police for restraining this neo-Nazi group, and said the incident is a reminder about the need for vigilance in the face of violent movements like these.
Some neo-Nazi incidents across three consecutive days over the Australia Day weekend. Shane, let's move on to some good or positive news.
Okay, former WITSO New South Wales President Anat Vidor received the tremendous honour and responsibility just recently of being elected as World WITSO's new president during its annual general meeting. When making the announcement, the Global Women's Zionist Movement's executive chair, Anita Friedman, noted how Vidor, a fifth-generation Israeli and mother of two, became involved in WITSO back in 2007, going on to fill the leadership role with success for WITSO New South Wales when she was in Australia from 2015 until just recently when she moved back to Israel. A dozen others at this meeting were granted World WITSO Life memberships, including former WITSO Australia President Paulette Cherney. So congratulations to both of them. We do have in our print editions this week, four-page coverage of all 26 recipients of Australia Day honours. There were 11 AMs and 15 OAMs awarded to Jewish Australians. So congratulations to all of them. And lastly, just a huge mazel tov to Israeli wheelchair tennis player Guy Sasson, who reached the final of the Australian Open quad wheelchair tournament, which was fantastic. And he also left a special video message to everyone who came along to all his games at Melbourne Park to cheer him on, raise Israeli flags, and shout El Yisrael. So congratulations to him. And of course, he was on debut at his Australian Open, so to do so well is just fantastic.
Okay, Shane Desjatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much for your report, and speak to you again next week. רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.